Congregation, the scripture reading this afternoon is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. We read the verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel, and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. And when ye came unto this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. So far the reading of God's word. The text for the sermon is verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Beloved congregation, in the portion of scripture we just read, we see that Moses is addressing the people. Actually, the whole book of Deuteronomy consists of three speeches, three sermons, if you wish, three farewell sermons that the prophet Moses gave to the people. And here we are in the end of Deuteronomy for the last time. Moses is addressing the people. And he is renewing the covenant. The Lord told him to reestablish the covenant that the Lord had made with the people at Horeb, and that was nearly 40 years prior to this. So many who were present then were no longer alive. And many who were present at this time with Moses, they had no recollection of what happened there. And so the Lord wanted Moses to reconfirm his covenant. And so the Lord also reconfirms his covenant with us. We've seen that this afternoon in baptism. What a blessing to be here in church with three infants of the congregation. Three healthy children the Lord has blessed you with. What a rich privilege. And there is joy because of what the Lord has given to you. And so these three children are also incorporated in God's covenant. And in God's covenant, the Lord comes very close to us. He lays the gift of forgiveness of sins and of adoption to be his children. He lays that gift upon our children. And your children have to learn to receive that gift in their life. And therefore we need the applying work of the Holy Spirit. And he is willing to do that work. And therefore as parents we are in duty bound to bring our children under the means of grace, and to instruct them, and to cause them to be instructed. You just promised that you would do that. And then that we ourselves will seek to raise them in the fear of the Lord. Then we may expect, by grace, the miracle of God's mercy in renewing the lives of our children. The Lord wants us to remember His promises. The Lord wants us to plead upon Him when we need His miracles, His interventions in our life, in daily life, the things that may befall you, but especially for spiritual matters. We need God to be present, to come into our lives. And therefore we are to remember His covenant. And that's what Moses is doing to the people here. And he is saying to the people of Israel, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. So we consider here God's covenant. And we see in the first place the content. In the second place, the calling. In the third place, the care displayed in God's covenant. God's covenant, we see the content, the calling, and also the care displayed therein. So Moses is here in verse 2, he called unto all Israel. So all the men and women of Israel, all the children were present, they all had to come. They all had to be under the word of God. And Moses tells them what the Lord had done to them, how the Lord had led them out of Egypt. He refers to the miracles the Lord had done in their lives and in their presence. Some of them remembered still how the Lord led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And they could all remember to some extent how the Lord had cared for them during their journey through a howling, dry, barren, dusty wilderness. Moses elaborates on that in verse 5. Miracles of the Lord. Throughout the journey, the Lord had provided for them. Their sandals had not worn out. Their clothes were still in good shape. The Lord had fed them daily with manna. Repeatedly, the Lord had caused water to come forth from rocks. When they were faced with mighty enemies like King Sihon and King Og, they were ferocious enemies, much stronger than the people of Israel. But the Lord delivered them and gave them overwhelming victories. The Lord had led them through unknown territory, through the wilderness, along untrodden paths. And the Lord had guided them. They had not lost their way. Continually the Lord gave them all they stood in need of. The people of Israel had become men of strength, men of courage, men who by God's grace were now enabled to go forth to war. And by all these blessings, they were made to know that the Lord God was their God. 40 years prior to this, the Lord had audibly spoken to them from Horeb, I am the Lord thy God. And the Lord had kept His word. They suffered no want. The Lord was good to them repeatedly. And now here in this last sermon, Moses is underscoring all this, laying out before the people the faithfulness of the Lord God. He is underscoring the validity of God's covenant. The Lord had united His name to the people of Israel. He had adopted them as His people. And what a privilege. The Lord had not dealt so with other nations. And so Israel was a privileged nation. God established His covenant with them. The Almighty God, filled with loving kindness and mercy, He offered them life eternal, forgiveness of sins, because this covenant that the Lord established with Israel was not just for this daily life. It was a spiritual covenant. Just as it is today, the covenant of grace now and in the Old Testament is one covenant. It is spiritual by nature. It focused upon remission of sins, upon life everlasting, that the Lord adopted these people as his covenant people. And likewise, we also are a privileged people. We are highly privileged above so many others in our own nation. We may hear of life everlasting, and we may hear of this God and what he has done, that he is offering to us mercy, grace, the riches of his loving kindness. And the content of this covenant is that God the Father adopts us, and that God the Son washes us, and that God the Holy Spirit promises us that he is willing to apply these benefits to our heart and life. The Lord demands faith and repentance. But what the Lord demands, he is willing to give. So the fulfillment of these covenant promises, we must look to him who is able to circumcise our heart and to pour out his Spirit upon us. And we may call upon him, and he will graciously hear us. That's the content of the covenant. Then there's also a calling. Because Israel was under the covenant of God, they had seen his mercies, his blessings. They had a calling that was to trust in the Lord, to obey him, and to live with him. And how had they responded to all the goodness of the Lord? Had they indeed trusted in him? Did they turn to him? Did they say, he is the Lord God who led us out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and we trust in him, and although we see no deliverance, yet we know that he will lead us. Did they have this so-called blind trust upon the Lord? It would not have been blind trust, but they could see the invisible one and see his promises and the reality of his deliverance that he will give, although we do not see it yet. How that can ever happen? Had they trusted in the Lord? The answer is no, they had not. They saw the signs of God's goodness. They observed his miracles. But then we read in verse 4 that accusation. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. It's an accusation. It's not an excuse. It's an accusation. For the people of Israel had seen the miracles, but they had become dull of understanding. They had become insensible to so many miracles. They had become accustomed to manna. They thought it was very normal that their clothes and shoes didn't wear out. They took the blessings of God for granted. They did not realize the rich privileges given to them. They didn't realize that they had repeatedly sinned against their God. And then Moses admonishes them not to delay any longer, but to arouse themselves that they would listen to God, that they would realize the rich benefits given to them. They should have been on their knees thanking God for these deliverances every day again. When the manna would fall, they should have been on their knees thanking God and begging God that they would learn to love him and to follow him, to trust him and to obey him. They should have been asking God to give them an understanding heart, eyes to see and ears to hear the spiritual realities. But they did not see the need for this prayer. They were not concerned about God's honor. They were more concerned about receiving the blessings of God. But they were not concerned about obeying their covenant God. And that's why the Lord had not given them a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. So this shows us two things, actually. A heart to follow and love the Lord, that's a gift from God. Repentance and faith are worked by God's Spirit in one's life. It is the Lord who draws, it's the Lord who convicts, and He opens the eyes of a sinner to realize the depravity of his own life, and to realize who the Lord is, and to see how they have behaved themselves over against a good-doing God. An understanding heart that comes from God. Eyes to see are given by God. All spiritual life originates from God. That's the first thing. But the second thing is that we see that the Lord gives these blessings to those who ask Him. The blessings of a softened heart and of opened eyes to realize our great need of God in life are not automatically given. They are a gift of God that God is willing to give to those who ask Him, who humble themselves before Him, who complain that their heart is opposed to the Lord, that they sin so often, that the bent of their life is not for the Lord, but for themselves. And so Israel did not ask the Lord for a new heart. They never asked for the application of God's Spirit in their lives. They were not concerned about God's honor. And that's why the Lord had not given them an understanding heart. And when Moses complains about this to the people, that's not intended to blame God, as if God would have not done something that He should have done. No, it's an accusation against the people of Israel. God had not been unfaithful. He was very faithful to them every day again. But the people of Israel had been unfaithful to the Lord. Calvin compares this in his commentary to a drunk, someone who is drunk, and when such a person hears a cry, he looks up and he falls back into his stupor. Or someone who is lulled asleep, and he hears someone crying out and may open his eyes briefly and then goes back to sleep. That's how the people of Israel were, John Calvin says. They never seriously applied their minds to God's works. Whenever they saw a miracle, they immediately fell back into forgetfulness. And that's why Moses is here trying to awaken them from this dullness. Moses does not merely condemn this senselessness and blindness and deafness, but realize that they had not been gifted with grace to hear and to see. And that's because they did not pay attention to the day of their visitation. The reality is that man is blind even for the brightest lights of God unless the Lord opens their eyes. Now, congregation, have we not received many blessings? Do we not hear every Lord's Day about life everlasting? You have not become dull of hearing, have you? It's not in your life that you take the blessings, but you do not look at the one who blesses you. Do we realize the distinguishing grace we have that we may be under the proclamation of God's truth, that the Lord establishes His covenant with us? And how do we respond to all these blessings, the Word of God we daily have with us? And we hear the proclamation of his word. Many blessings in daily life. These three couples have been richly blessed above expectation. So many blessings. Do we pay attention to the one who gave these blessings? Have we learned to ask the Lord for eyes to realize who we are and who the Lord is? How serious are we about God's honor in our lives? That's why we live in this world, that God would be glorified in us and through us. How serious are you about receiving a new heart? How serious are you that your eyes will be opened to behold with awe the rich miracles around you? Miracles in nature, by animals, plants, creation, they're all miracles. Our bodies, they are miracles. Do we see that, or do we take it for granted? All these daily observable miracles, they are proclamations that the Lord God is our Maker, and He needs to be honored above all. But on top of that, the Lord God said, "You belong to me. You need forgiveness of sins applied to your heart, and therefore you need to see your sins and your depravity and be burdened by that. And you need to see the need for a new life in you. You need to see your need of God to lead you, to instruct you, to keep you, to watch over you, and that you increasingly would see that you can do nothing without the Lord." Do you see and realize these things? Have you learned to see the riches of God's loving kindness, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately precious, that He is the first one in your life? We are to yield to the Lord. We just could sing in Psalter 2:22. Have you done that? It's our duty, not just only to have some religious customs, but that we, with the totality of our lives, turn to the Lord. We need to thirst for the living God. Keep, therefore, the words of this covenant and do them. That means you live with an open Bible. And you call upon the Lord to open your eyes, that you would learn to love Him above all. Because it's a painful reality when Moses says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant." We cannot do that. We cannot keep those words of the covenant. We need God in order to do that. And to do the words of the covenant, we need the Lord in our lives to do that. Every day we sin again. If it would be up to us, we would turn away from the narrow path or never even get onto the narrow path. And so we need His Holy Spirit. So how do we live, congregation? Do you take the blessings for granted? Or have you learned to plead this promise that you can hardly understand, but you read it in Scripture, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh"? Have you learned to plead this promise? Israel had not. And the consequences would be dire for them. Administration of baptism is a calling to us that we would flee to the God of our baptism, that we would earnestly plead for the fulfillment of these promises given to us in baptism. But then if we look further, we see also the great care, the care that God gives, what he does, what the Lord displays in the covenant. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Do you see how good the Lord is? The Lord wants you to prosper in your ways. Young man, young woman, you may have, the Lord willing, your life ahead of you. The Lord wants you to prosper, that it will go well with you. And how then can you prosper? When you live with the Lord God in your heart, in your life, when you take time to study the Scriptures and you call upon His name, that the Lord will give you eyes and ears to see and to hear. The Lord will cause you to prosper. What does prosper mean? It means abundance. Blessed the man that fears the Lord. That's really true. It's not that life with the Lord is always easy. You have to go against the grain of people sometimes. You have to resist the flow of current culture. And you have to seek the Lord's will. Sometimes you stand alone. Sometimes you have to struggle. Sometimes you have to resist. But that doesn't matter, because the Lord undergirds you. He supports you. He will always be there. And so the need for the Lord Jesus will increase in your life if there is a proper spiritual life. You'll become more and more dependent upon the Lord. You'll be drawn closer to Him. That's how you prosper, by being more and more dependent upon God. The word used here in Hebrew for prosper has several meanings. It's a full word. The word can also be translated that you will be wise in all you do. Wisdom, common sense in daily life, but wisdom in spiritual life. They are gifts of the Lord. Then the Lord lives in you and gives you wisdom so that you will know in life the way you must go. There are many pitfalls in life. There are byways which will lead you astray, which will lead your family astray. But by the enlightening work of God's Spirit, you will receive wisdom so that you will be wise in all you do. You will be blessed. Wisdom. It's said of David. David behaved himself very wisely, and so he prospered. 1 Samuel 18, verse 15. It is said of the Lord Jesus himself in Isaiah 52:13 that the servant of the Lord will deal prudently. The same word. He will prosper. He will deal prudently, wise. And so he would be blessed. The verb also means that you will be, humanly speaking, successful. Successful. The verb is used when David admonishes his son Solomon in 1 Kings 2 to be strong and to walk in the ways of the Lord, to keep God's commandments so that he would prosper in all that he would do. And that means he would be successful as a king in his reign. He would have a fulfilling life. But this word prosper means also to be attached to the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we keep the words of these covenant, we will be connected to the fullness of Christ. And that is a very deep thought. That is the thought of a never-ending fountain of all blessing. We can think, for instance, of the fullness of light in the sun and of the fullness of water in the sea. And if you compare then the light of the sun to a glowworm, the difference in light, you see, how can a glowworm compare with the fullness of the light of the sun? Well, some people follow a glowworm in life, and they think they have light. But the Lord Jesus is a fullness of light, of life, of salvation. And that's what the Lord gives. It's very concrete. It's very real. This is the prospering the text speaks about. The fullness of life everlasting, of remission of sin, of justification, sanctification, a full redemption, so that needy sinners will inherit everlasting glory, being purchased by Christ. They belong to Him. The Lord Jesus lives in them and they in Him. Ye are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2:10. In life, you will be blessed. You will go forth from strength to strength. You will see that your prayers and your struggles are not in vain. You will see that the Lord is faithful and that He is good. In the midst of difficulties you may go through, He will lead you through and you will see His blessings and His care. You will experience His loving kindness. And He is the good shepherd who will lead you so that you shall not want. You will prosper when you live according to His ways, His words, His commandments. Then the pure, fresh, living water of Christ will refresh your soul and will keep you from misery, from desolation. He will enlighten your understanding. You will be kept from certain errors. And the Lord is able to fill all who come to Him. And we are invited to come to Him. What do we do with God's covenant? Do we reflect upon the promises given to us in baptism? Do we reflect upon the fullness of grace laid upon us in baptism? Do we plead our baptism? Do we think of how close the Lord comes to us, that it's so moving the Lord unites His holy name to these children and to us? Do we live for ourselves? Or do we live for Him? Or do we reject the Lord? Who are they who reject the Lord? The people in the world? No. Because the Lord never came to them with His promises of life and salvation, with His offers of grace. If someone doesn't come to you with an offer, you can't reject it. Who rejects this? Covenant people, they reject. Some of them, they indeed reject the God of their covenant, and they want to lead their own lives and have their own ideas and their own likings, and they don't want to submit themselves to the Lord and to His will. It may cost you something. It will cost you yourself, because then you no longer listen to your ideas and views, but you listen to the Lord. And that costs you yourself, but actually it doesn't cost you anything. It delivers you. It liberates you. Well, many of the people of Israel did not want to listen. And we know in the history of Israel what all happened. They were often complaining. They did what was right in their own eyes. And with their lips they honored the Lord. The kings of Israel, who were all wicked, they honored the Lord with their lips. They spoke about the God, what he had done in there, that he gave blessings and that he gave hunger and famine and drought. And they knew the Lord did that. So with their lips they honored him, but they were wicked people. They were covenant people. But they lived far from him. Church people who by their actions are far from him. Do you keep God's word? Do you keep the words of this covenant? Do you keep his word? I spoke to a colleague the other day from another denomination, conservative denomination. And he told me that quite a few people in his church, they don't even read the Bible. Or they have this app, gives them one text a day that they glance at. They don't read the Bible. There is no struggling. There is no desire. There is no begging. There is no seeking of the Lord and his salvation. How are you? We don't see that from each other, what we do. But do you open the scriptures? And do you seek understanding from the Lord? Such people who do not keep God's word, they are really not concerned about their sins. They think they're doing well, but they are far from God, and they will not prosper. And they will not inherit life everlasting. It's tragic, but it's also sinful. When God comes with his covenant and with many blessings, with many promises, what do we do? Do we seek this covenant God? And do we seek the fulfillment of what God gives us in his covenant? Amen. Shall we close with thanksgiving and prayer? We draw nigh again to thee, O Lord, to thank thee for the admonitions of thy holy word, for the corrections thou dost afford us. And as Moses has spoken to those covenant people, he was actually speaking to us through thy word this afternoon. And we pray thee for grace that we would keep the words of thy covenant, and grant us grace, Lord, that we may be concerned about our soul, about thy honor in our lives, that we may be concerned to receive a new heart and understanding heart and eyes to see and ears to hear. O Lord, wilt thou give that we may be penitents at thy footstool, at thy throne of grace, to ask of thee what we stand in need of. And, O Lord, open our eyes that we may perceive what our needs are. And may thy word be our guide through life, so that we would have wisdom in all we do, so that we would even be successful in what thou dost call us to do, but that above all we would prosper by receiving life everlasting in us, also now in this life. O Lord God, thou dost offer so much, thou dost give so much, thine only begotten Son, and the promise of prospering. O Lord, give us humility to bow before thee and to seek life in thee and in thy word. Go with us also this day further. Bless these baptismal parents with thy grace. Strengthen them in the task and the calling and the beautiful privilege thou hast given them. Be with us all, we pray, and watch over us for Jesus' sake. Amen.